Following up now on some health news from earlier this year, you may recall that the FDA made a pretty big deal with the announcement that it had approved a new treatment for migraines. It's called Cephalate, and it's a battery-powered headband that claims to prevent migraines through electrical stimulation. Our next guest has done a lot of work in the area of migraine prevention. Dr. Stuart Tepper is a professor of medicine and neurology at the Cleveland Clinic Lerner College of Medicine, and he's got a few questions about this device.
It looks like Princess Leia's tiara from Star Wars. It's a AA battery-powered electrical stimulator that is applied to the forehead using a headband-like device. And the way that it works is there's a self-adhesive electrode pad which is positioned over the center of the forehead, and then this device is held in place with the plastic headband that rests on top of the ears, and it activates a low-level electrical current that's supposed to stimulate the nerves of the head and those nerves that are supposed to be associated with migraine. And it was approved based on two studies that were conducted in Europe. One of them was done in Belgium and used 67 people who had at least two migraine attacks per month. They needed to wear it for 20 minutes a day, and then they were evaluated for 30 days to look for a change in monthly migraine days and also the percentage of people who had a 50% reduction in their monthly migraine days. And in the study, only half of them actually got real stimulation. The other half got sham stimulation. So that was really the main study that the FDA used to approve this. And then there's another study in which patients were asked after a period of time, would you buy one? You know, how satisfied were you? So those were the two studies, but only one really was a sham controlled trial, and that was only 67 people.
Well, and was it effective? I mean,
well, yes, it was effective, and that's why the FDA approved it, but it was modestly effective. So the first way they looked at it, which was change in the number of migraine days, showed some improvement, but it actually didn't reach what we call statistical significance. And the second outcome, which was the percentage of those who had a 50% reduction of migraine days, that was positive. And they did have a significant decrease in the number of headache days in about a quarter of the subjects, so about 26%. And so the way to look at that is if you just looked at total headache days, it probably didn't even reach statistical significance. But if you looked at the people who really, in which it really worked, in which they really dropped their migraine days by half, then a quarter of the people did have that outcome. So when it worked, it seemed to work well, but it didn't work well for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think I'm almost more interested in the second study about would you buy it?
Well, before we get to that, let me tell you one of the problems with this. They did the trial for 3 months, and people were supposed to do 90 sessions, right, every day, 20 minutes each. And the device allowed the company that makes it, Cephaly, to actually tell whether people were using it properly or not. And it turned out that a significant percentage of people during the study did not use it reliably, didn't use it for the 20 minutes every day. And that actually turned out to be a problem in the second study, which the one you're asking about, which is how many would buy it. So they did this large study with 2,300 people who rented the device for 40 days through the internet. And 54%, so about half, said they were willing to purchase it. 46% said they were not satisfied and returned it. So, and when they looked at the devices that were returned, only about half of the, less than half of the people that had used it had actually used it every day for 20 minutes. So what we don't know is if you actually use it according to the instructions and turn it on every day and keep it on for 20 minutes every day, whether there would be a greater likelihood of it working, and then you would actually want to buy it if you were a patient.
I'm speaking with Dr. Stuart Tepper about preventing and managing migraines. Dr. Tepper is a professor of medicine and neurology at the Cleveland Clinic Lerner College of Medicine. I was just wondering, in terms of just electrical stimulation as a way to prevent or treat migraines, how does that work?
Well, the idea was that it would alter the pathways in what's called the trigeminal nerve, which is the nerve that serves pain in the head. And by stimulating continuously at a low level, that you would reduce the likelihood that that whole pain system would be turned on. The good news on it, of course, is that the side effects were minimal. I mean, really, almost nothing. Less than 5% of people had any side effects. And you compare that to other drugs that the FDA has approved for prevention of migraine, like topiramate, Topamax. Well, Topiramax decreases the number of migraine days by 44%, and the Cefaly device reduces it by 25%, but topiramate has a ton of side effects for a lot of people. It causes memory dysfunction and numbness and tingling, and it can cause kidney stones, and the list goes on and on. And the general rule of thinking about Topamax, for example, for prevention of migraine, is that by 3 months, a third of the people are off it because they can't stand it. So this device, while its effects appear modest, its side effect profile is so nice that a lot of people are thinking, well, why not try it?
Yeah.
So I can tell you a little bit about what's involved in trying to access it, if you think
sure. Yeah.
The listeners would be interested. Well, right now, it's generally not covered by insurance. And so the way it works is a doctor provides a prescription, and it's called the Cefaly STNS device, because it's really a TENS unit at the forehead. And it costs about $295 plus $29 for shipping, with a prescription accompanying each order. When I checked on it this week, you also have to buy a 3-pack of electrodes for $25 and an additional $5 for shipping for that. And each electrode pad lasts 15 to 30 days, and the company doesn't accept credit cards and accepts payment at this point only through PayPal. So that's what's involved in ordering it. Sometimes insurance companies will cover TENS units, and so if the insurance covers TENS units, then they will probably cover this. But there's another kind of interesting aspect of the Cefaly device, which is that it's different in the United States from in Canada and Europe. So it's approved in Canada and Europe, and if you buy the Canadian device, which costs the same, that has three settings, and one of the settings is supposed to terminate migraine attacks, so it can be used acutely, and one of the settings, same as the U.S. setting, is for prevention of migraine, and one of the settings is for what they refer to as relaxation and stress reduction. If you buy the Cefaly device through Canada or Europe, you get the three settings. If you buy it in the United States, you only get the one setting.
So if you're going to buy one of these, in your opinion, if you want to try it out, it has 25% success rate, but like you said, no real side effects, would you go for the Canadian model, or would you go for the U.S. model?
Well, I think if you could go for the Canadian model, that would make sense. But what I've been hearing is that in Canada, where you don't even need a prescription for it, the Canadian purveyors of the device are restricting it so that it's difficult to get it shipped to the United States. So I suspect the only way to get it is to go up there and actually buy it. I did go on the Costco website for Canada, and it's available there for $250, although it's on back order. So I think for listeners who want to get it without a prescription, and I would probably do the Canadian device and then get the electrodes through the U.S. with a prescription. It would give more versatility. But if they want to just do it the way the FDA evaluated it, then they just try it for prevention, and then it should be straightforward getting it with all of the exceptions that I listed, price and insurance reimbursement problems and requirements for electrode refills.
Well, Dr. Stuart Tepper of the Cleveland Clinic, thank you so much for talking with me. It's been fascinating.
It is. It's a very interesting area that's changing very rapidly, and thank you very much for letting me talk about it.